Gentlemen, we are live.
Woohoo!
Where are we live?
Hello, everybody. We are at Grey Duck Theater and Coffee House, 619 6th Avenue Northwest, Rochester, Minnesota. A very quick 9-minute walk from the Gonda building here just a little north of downtown.
And who's sitting next to you, Andy?
This is Hank Friedrichs. He is our general contractor and just overall whiz at getting our space done and complete and on time and passing inspections and a myriad of other things that you had to do last minute or throughout all of last year. So one of our favorite people at Grey Duck Theater and Coffee House.
Little louder? Perfect. Thank you. We got an audience already, and they're telling us to be a little bit louder, so here we go. If we take a step back in time, where did this all begin? That's the question. I'm trying to remember where it all began.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going back to when it began as an idea, for me, is probably college as a basic idea, but more immediately as far as making an actual business happen, and me going from idea to drawing up business plans, doing research, how we could make this work financially, what we would have to hit, and where we wanted to do it, because I wasn't living anywhere near Rochester at this point. It was December 2017. At the time, I was a teacher in South Florida, Miami area, and I decided I didn't want to do that anymore, and I wanted to finally pursue this dream, and so that's when I started putting plans in place and making decisions as far as where we wanted to do it. We wanted to do it, we being my wife and I, in the upper Midwest. That's an area we know well. It's where she's from. My extended family is here. We wanted to come back to this area, and we thought this business idea, this creating community around film, bringing sort of LA film culture somewhere where it wasn't, would really hit in this area of the country. So a lot of different reasons we decided to do that. By February, we were looking at properties in such far-flung places as Grand Rapids, where we actually flew to look at some places, like St. Cloud, Fargo, a couple of Des Moines, handful of places that we were looking at sort of mid-level Midwest cities. Sometime around that point, I think it was early March, because we went back and we tried to find the email at some point, is when I found a listing in Rochester, which was sort of random. It was just a warehouse. We didn't end up going for that spot, but the realtor who was there was this guy across the table from me, Bucky, who I'll let you speak for yourself. Something about that email, I guess, caught your attention.
Yeah, I think for me it was initially you sending ideas of other theaters and their existence and what they look like around the country. And then when I saw that, I was like, we need that in Rochester. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if this is the best analogy, but I feel like I sank my teeth in. I was like, Andy, you're coming to Rochester.
No, absolutely.
Like, I feel like when I saw those pictures, in my mind, I was like, you're coming to Rochester and you don't even know it yet.
I mean, I think you might have said that to me. But that was really important because at the time, like I said, we were really open. We were just trying to find the right space. We needed to work inside of the budget we had for our monthlies and a lot of different things that we were working on. I need to be the right city. And I think you said, come to Rochester, give me a chance to sell you on it. And I was already going to visit my in-laws, who are from St. Paul, during spring break anyway of that year. So I was like, well, I'll just drive down for a day and see what this guy, is talking about. Because you were very passionate about the area and about our idea as well. So we did. And that day was an incredible day for us. Because you were right in the sense of, I think this town is perfect for this sort of venture. And even outside of that, from a personal perspective, my wife Anna and I just love the city. It really fits with our personality, sort of where we wanted to settle down. It's a little bit urban for me, who grew up in Los Angeles, went to school in downtown Chicago. I like that feel, but it's got enough of sort of the Midwest sensibility and smaller town feel. If you want that, you can find it here. And so that was a little bit more of Anna's, suburban St. Paul upbringing, really felt at home here. So it was a perfect place for us personally and professionally. And I think at the end of the day, we didn't say this to you yet. You have to hold your cards a little closer to the chest. But I think talking to each other, we were like, I think this is it.
That's sweet. So Hank, where did this idea begin for you as far as how you got involved in the project?
Working on the house across the road here. We call it the Red Rental, And we would look out the window quite often and kind of come up with these ideas is, could this be a theater? That was me and Bucky, that is. And he was talking to Andy at the time, and it slowly started, and then it grew into this idea, and here we are sitting in a finished theater. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm trying to, I wonder if we could look back at like the first time that I brought it up to Hank of like, we're going to do a theater in that building. What do you think? And okay.
Yeah.
I think we both were like, I don't know how we're going to pull it off, but we're going to sure try.
Yep. I'm guessing Hank probably had this. Hank's expression, for those of you who don't know him, is always sort of like confident, like, okay, sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's I imagine that's what Hank would be like. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, I can do it, but it's going to be tough. Because I remember the first time I met you was, I think, at Paul Armand's office.
Oh, okay.
We were drawing up some basic plans to present to the city to sort of get the wheels moving. And so I first met you there. And the whole time, Hank had this, we were throwing around ideas, big ideas, crazy ideas, or like what we wanted this to look like. And just every time we'd come to Hank and be like, so is that doable? He'd be like, yeah, but, and then, he'd give a very good opinion on like why it would cost more or less or what would be a better thing. And then that was it. Just very to the point and professional. And so that was the beginning of a very good relationship that we had all throughout, at least from my perspective. Maybe Hank behind my back said mean things, but from my perspective, I thought it went really well throughout our construction process.
Hank, talk a little bit closer to the mic. It'll help. If we go back with what this building was before, how would you describe it to somebody that has never seen the inside of this building prior to what it is now?
Well, there was huge cracks in the floor. That was the first scary thing. What was it, a hydrogen pit for Culligan Water?
Yeah, Culligan Water, I think for their water softeners, they would, back in the day, they would empty the brine, and then it would go into these holding tanks that then would get emptied out, and so they were underground, but that led to... Yeah.
So cracks in the floor, the ceiling was rusty because of that brine. And we walked in, we knew we could do something with the building, but it would cost a little bit. And Andy's great ideas led us to, this great building.
So the tanks, you could fit a full car down in these tanks. Like, that's how big they were underground. And I mean, we had a understanding as to how big they were, but I think we really knew once we started busting up the concrete. And I have an Instagram post where I'd put one of the GIFs of like a person falling down into the hole.
Yeah.
And like, it was
huge. They're huge. Yeah. Yeah. And we were lucky that it was, the stuff that was in there, it wasn't toxic or anything. Cause it wasn't a garage or anything like that, an auto space, but yeah, huge tanks. And because of that, we had huge cracks. I mean, the floor, I don't know which camera to look at, but it was basically like this in the middle. There's just these big cracks. And so that's obviously not going to work for any sort of flooring that we had. And so that was our first major hump of how much is this going to be before we even get into carpeting and chairs and, whatever else that everyone actually sees when they come here.
And then when you talk about the roof and rust, the roof was rusty due to the salt, right? The brine. And so there were spots where there was literally holes up to the roof deck and the insulation and then the rubber roof. And there wasn't really leaks. I mean, it held off pretty good, but for sure we had to get rid of that metal roof deck. And that was another project because you can't take it out from the bottom. How the heck did we have to take it out, Hank?
Yep. Had to go up on top and have about three guys up there for a week. And we got it all off and then re-insulated it with about 12-inch foam, which also waterproofed it. And it's also holding heat pretty well now.
And they had to bring a crane in for the metal decking where we replaced it. And so I just remember that as this huge crane comes in and it's like, we have...
Yeah.
Sounds so easy. We're going to open up a theater.
Yep.
Right? Yep. Like, just get the popcorn, get the screen, get the seats. It was a huge endeavor.
And that was our original plan was like, we're just going to like buy some seats, that's going to be like our major purchase, and then we're going to sort of set this up and it'll slowly grow and we can add things to it. Even with this location, when we first saw it, I think that was more of our thought, like, okay, we can put some stuff together, get it going, and then once we have some working capital, we can add some really big stuff on this. But as a group, we noticed early on that there's just stuff that you have to swallow if you want to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
If we didn't want to be folding chairs in a dark, dim room, which no one wants to go to that for a cinema, we had to really invest in it. And the early projects, the roof and the floor were huge.
Talk about the underground plumbing, because again, for me, someone that hasn't done a lot of this large construction projects, I think it was unknown as to how much underground plumbing we had to do and what it entailed. So what do we have to do on that?
Well, Action Plumbing came in and marked it all out for us, and then we had to pretty much cut up a third of the front of the theater here for piping and all that, wire lines, drains, all that stuff. So that was a fun process as well.
So at the same time, they're laying concrete, they're cutting old stuff. Yeah. So we're gaining and losing concrete at the same time.
And then the holes for that were not shallow by any means, right? You don't want to make them shallow. So they're at least a foot deep, weren't they?
As far as,
gosh. Then you got to dispose of all that concrete. Just something else. Another thing that I think people often look past just in the small business atmosphere of trying to open up a small business is, we had two bathrooms. Why the heck did we have to change our bathrooms?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
There was already two existing. They were fully functioning. They flushed, they washed, they did everything, right?
Yep. But they were not ADA compliant. Americans with Disabilities Act, I don't know the year that passed, but it's a good bill. Offers everyone the chance to have access to bathrooms that are in public spaces. So it's a good thing. You know, the unfortunate side effect is that we have to spend more money to make our bathrooms bigger so that they're accessible to those in wheelchairs or in other disabilities. So that basically meant we basically just gutted the bathrooms. We had to move walls to make them wide enough for that to be possible. So it's a huge expense. Again, it's worthwhile. We care about our customers and those with disabilities, but it's definitely a cost that, again, we weren't ready for until we sat down with architects and people from the city and county who knew about these regulations, and we got it done. Well, I should say Hank got it done. I watched and posted Instagram posts.
Yeah, the progress shots.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Look at all the work we did this week.
Yeah, exactly. We.
Yeah, exactly. Hank, talk about the long hours. I think that's another thing worth mentioning is, you don't need to know probably the number of hours, but talk about the long hours and what that looks like for someone building out something like this size.
Absolutely. 10 to 15 hour days. And we get some weeks off when we're not in big projects like this, so I'm not going to complain. But when we're in the middle of a big project, it's 10, 15-hour days. And a lot of material runs to Menards or Home Depot or KBS. So yeah. It takes a long time.
I remember driving by late at night, and sure enough, you'd look in the windows, and they'd have not the nice finished lights. It would be the contractor lights that are, you know, extension cords. And it's like, yep, Hank's still in there,
yep,
working away.
And this was winter,
oh,
so
gosh,
I mean, it gets dark at 4
right.
o'clock, and he's just in there. There's several times, at this point, I was commuting up and down from St. Paul, and so there were several times where I would come late at night because I'm waiting till after traffic, or I had a late-night meeting or something like that. So I would come here to check some stuff, and I was figuring, I was just going to be me, it's 8 o'clock, I'll look around and leave, and then, you know, Hank and a couple guys are here with the lights on doing stuff, so... They when they say 10 to 15 hour days, they're not just saying that to make it sound like they work hard. They have absolutely done many of those here, and the fruit of their labor is fantastic.
The one day that stands out in middle of winter, the exterior. So there were three garage bays on the back, and we had to fill in all of those garage bays for insulation reasons. For, you know, it'd be cool to have a garage for your darkness in the theater.
Yep.
And I just remember distinctively pulling up and, like, you're using your truck lights to light the back of the building to put up the siding and everything, and, like, oh my gosh, that was a late night.
And the snowiest February on record in Minnesota. How did that affect you guys?
Well, there was just like a 3-day stint there where we had to get some doors in so other people could come in and do their stuff. So that was the only time we spent outside, which was nice, but those days were definitely very cold.
What are some of the finishes that you're just happy with as far as, you know, specific details? What's a detail that kind of stands out to you when you think about the finished product?
There's a lot. It's, you know, there's 1,000 details. I think the one that I was really happy with when I came in and first saw it the first time and said, wow, that looks great, was the combination of the paint we had chosen in the theater with the lights and the step lights. When you turned everything off and it was just our, you know, dimmed lights and the black theater, and I saw that we had, like, achieved the feeling that we wanted, I think that was, like, the detail that stands out. When I saw that, I was like, wow. I mean, I love the floorings. The barring surface has been amazing. I could talk about a lot of things we love, but the moment I remember most is when we turned off the lights and we just brought up the house lights, and it just looked like this very high-end, beautiful theater that I've had people compare to, like, St. Anthony on Main in Minneapolis. The feel, I mean, obviously we're not the same size. That's when I knew we were successful, and I say that Hank was successful in completing all these
Great
details.
Up was successful.
There we go. Yeah, as a team, we were successful. So that jumps out at me as like the finishes coming together to really fit everything.
And now this detail just came back to me as well. But to achieve that darkness, what were some of the things you had to do in there? That and one specifically stands out was unexpected as to what we had to do.
We had to prime the steel, is that what you're talking
yeah.
about? Yeah, it was shiny steel, so we had to scratch it and also put a cleaner on it so we could paint it. Otherwise, it wouldn't have took paint properly.
Right.
So that's something to remember if you're watching this. Remember what kind of steel you're getting for your roof if you want to paint it.
Yeah, because can you buy the steel already is it's paintable or?
Yeah, and I don't mean to throw you under the bus, Troy Meisner, but yes, you can buy
steel. It wasn't Troy, actually. So who it was, I'll put some blame on myself because, you know, I didn't know about this detail. And I talked to Hawkinson's, who did a great job with all the steel work. And, you know, it was just like, yeah, we're building out a theater and I just need steel. And, oh, we have some extra steel that's left over from another job. This will be cheap and we can work a mm-hmm. price that's relatively affordable, which was awesome, right? And I remember Hank calling me and being like, yeah, I know it's all done, but we got to paint that. And it's going to be a messy job. And I'm like, okay.
Wow, I didn't know any of this. You guys kept this very secret.
Yeah, we tried not to act like there were any road bumps, right? It was just like, this is going smooth and we're on track. And
because that is important. I mean, if you haven't been to our theater yet, A, definitely come. And B, the whole ceiling is basically exposed steel. So if we had any reflection off of the ceiling, like we just talked about, that feeling of a theater is instantly gone because it's bright. The picture doesn't look good because projectors are all about lumens, which you need darkness to really show. So a lot of things that, like that small mistake, if Hank hadn't worked so hard, you know, to get them paintable, could have made a big difference. And if we had to buy more steel, I mean, that's a huge chunk of change. Yeah, yeah. So,
and then also with the ductwork, right? Because that's
got same stuff.
Same stuff. Yeah. And can you buy that ductwork to where it's...
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Now we know. Can you buy it black? I'm sure you can buy it black, pre-finished.
Pre-primed, I think.
Pre-primed, okay. Okay, so then all you got to do is paint it.
Yep.
For the next grade theater.
For the next
theater.
Where are we going next, right? One thing that stands out for me is when we talk about the finishes, is just this whole bar area, the coffee mm-hmm. area, you know, the countertop. It was. I remember us walking through, we walked through Tile Superstore yep. that has the countertops, and they have them on these big slabs, and part of the conversation was, do you have it with the glossy finish or the non-glossy finish, the matte finish,
exactly,
because you could flip it over either
exactly.
side.
Exactly. Yep. And I think most times you see a granite countertop, you see it with that gloss, right? Especially in homes, you want that kind of sheen. But it was, we were trying to figure out a couple different factors. One is, we knew we already had the subway tile backsplash, which we liked, and that was sort of the heart of our design of the whole front space. And so that obviously is a very reflective surface. It's made to make things bright. And so we have one, east-facing wall that's basically all windows, and then we had on the west wall this subway tile that was reflective. So we wanted it to be bright, but you don't want people to squint when they're in here. So we weren't sure we really wanted that full gloss, but at the same time, it looks good on granite. There's a reason that they're in most of those ways. And so the other side was also something called a leathered finish, which is this interesting texture that sort of makes it look, matte. I'm not sure the saleswoman would use that word, but I'll use it here. But it has this very unique look, which is good sometimes, but then if it's too unique, people are a little thrown off by it. So that was kind of our back and forth. We eventually went with the leathered finish, and it's been fantastic because not only does it look great, it doesn't reflect the light into customers' eyes, but it's actually incredibly durable and doesn't get sort of watermarks.
Okay.
Glossy finishes get watermarks if you know leave a hot mug on there for a while, it'll leave a stain there. And the leather finish, I don't know what science or voodoo they do, doesn't do that, which for a coffee shop is really, really helpful. So we were really happy with that
decision. So when I finally saw that installed, I was like, this is actually a coffee house. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was pretty late in the process. I mean, that was probably April, maybe late March, April. And we opened early May.
Yeah, 2 weeks before opening, we put that in.
Yeah. So it was we were definitely in a crunch because we had that May 3rd date. I think we had set that in early February. We had sat down and said, like, what would be a place where you could comfortably get it done? Ha ha ha, now. Because it was not comfortable. Because we had to set our opening date because we had tickets sold already and we needed to sell the rest of our tickets for our event. And so we had that May 3rd and that was like immovable. We had moved that a couple of times. And then we just had a handful of delays, some from the city, some from various other delays in the construction, that all of a sudden we came right up on that deadline. So yeah, 2 weeks before is when we put in that countertop. And then we all said, oh, this is a coffee shop. Which is a great feeling to have, not so great to have 2 weeks before we have to open. But again, a lot of hard work and we got it done.
Another thing that stands out is kind of the nitty gritty of details. You have to have a Knox box on the outside of your building. And it's for if there's a fire, the fire department comes and there's a lock box that they have a key for and they only have a key for it. And there's only one company you can buy these from. And so I ordered it online and I remember bringing it here and I gave it to Hank. And it was in a box, and I should have took it out of the box, but I didn't. But then I remember being like, all right, Hank, we got to put up the Knox box. And you hadn't seen a Knox box before, and if you have, it just wasn't a part of any of your projects. And I come, and there's something besides not a Knox box on the outside of the building. And I was like, oh, no, I hope we find this Knox box, because it's like $300 little box.
And there's a lot of boxes going everywhere in this space.
And Hank found it, and we installed the Knox box on the outside of the building.
And that was like the day before our fire.
And you need it. You need it for your final inspection. Maybe talk through what that looks like as far as process for people that haven't been through that process of building and safety of, like, what are some of those steps to get open? Talk close there.
You want to take that?
Yeah. Go for it. We had, like, 8 different bullets we had to complete on the last day right before opening. I think we finished our last one 3 hours before opening, which was kind of scary for all of us because Andy had a bunch of tickets sold.
Right.
And he needed to be open that night. So we took that pretty serious. But just things like handrails that needed end caps on them, signs that needed put up, like maximum occupancy, handicap, no parking here, hours of business on the door, just all sorts of things that you wouldn't think of. They came in and nailed us for the day of opening, and we had to get them all in, and then they were nice enough to come back the same day, which is, you know, not something they always do, and they let us open.
Yeah, I remember another thing that stands out is we need fire extinguishers.
Yep.
And
because we had them, they were just the wrong size. Well, we had one that was just right. We needed 2 fire extinguishers. If I remember right, it's like 2A something else is like the model number, or not model, whatever it is. So we had one that was the right size, and then we had 2 that were too small, and then I think 1 that was too big. But we needed 2 that were the right size. So I think I texted you and was like, we need this. And a couple hours later, he came back. Fire marshal, thankfully, came back that day and checked everything and gave us the sign off.
So I was at the fire extinguisher store over on 4th Street, and I'm in there, and I'm like, yeah, we're buying some fire extinguishers for this theater. And the lady goes, oh, great. She sells them to me. And then she's like, there was just somebody else in here that just bought them for a theater, too. And I'm like, what was the name of the person? And she goes, well, his name was Tassos. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I didn't want to return him at that point. I'm like, we need these, right? Yeah. And I get here, and he had already bought fire extinguishers.
That makes sense.
Like, everybody's scrambling. Like,
right. I think some point in the day, Tassos came, and I was like, we need fire extinguishers. And then later on, Bucky came, or I texted him, and we need fire extinguishers. And I'm just thinking, we need them today. If we have too many, that's a good problem to have, and that's what happened. But yeah, because it was a madhouse here, because we had not only your crew and people here, I had invited a lot of my family, because you just had a lot of, like, last-minute cleaning, a lot, you know, small things like paint this or touch up that, or clean. There's a lot of cleaning. So we had a lot of people here. We probably had 15 to 20 people just doing their own thing, trying to get stuff ready. In the midst of that, we were trying to communicate with each other what we needed, and it was It was crazy stressful. Because we had an event that we had to have.
What was the sign on the outside of the building? There was a sign that we needed to, like, on the inside of the building. And it was like, keep open during business hours.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And what sign did you put up? Somebody put a sign up. Oh, we accidentally got... It was an accident in the printing. That's what it was.
Yes. So there's a specific wording that you have to say, like, this remains unlocked during business hours. And it's a specific, like... set of something that it, by municipal code you have to have, and we had it printed up three times. One time, like, we put it up and it was, there was like a error in the actual sentence, like it was wrong. The
it second, said this must remain locked during business
yes,
hours.
Yes, so the exact opposite, which is what we want to say. Shoot, so we did it again, and then the second time we did it, there was like a printer error, like a, I think a word was left out or something again, and then the third time we finally got it up, and they kept getting progressively less nice signs because we were just more interested in getting it up so it was up and we were within code than like the look of it. So that was another fun scramble.
That is awesome. If you had to pick a movie that you were going to watch tonight, what movie would it be?
Oh, of any movie?
Any movie.
Normally my go-to there is Lord of the Rings, but I just watched those a couple of weeks ago. So I would say La La Land. I mention that a lot when I talk about the theater because the movie came out in, I believe, 2016. And if you haven't seen it, it's about a struggling musician and a struggling actress and their sort of love story in this LA film industry. And the major takeaway from that film is, for me, is how much would you give for your dream? And so when I saw that film, I still remember very clearly after I saw it, I went and sat in my car for a little while in the parking lot and just kind of thought about it. It just kind of sat with me because I felt like at that point, I had sort of given up on my dream of this theater and being involved in showing film to a community. And that was a while. It took a while to kind of sink in all the way. But that question of how much would you do for your dream is what drove me to where I am now in Great Elk Theater opening. So outside of that, I love the film. But especially now having gone on this journey, it's a powerful film for me to watch.
What do you think, Hank?
Very cool. You wondering my favorite short? Yeah.
Well, if you had to watch one tonight, what would be the movie you would watch?
Stand By Me or something like that, just because I grew up watching that stuff. I'm not too in the film community, so I don't really know the new films. But
that counts.
Yeah. I think what comes to mind for me would be a hunting film. Like, I don't, it could be anything.
Surprising, Bucky. Very surprising.
I know, right? So, honestly, if I actually had to choose, so I grew up watching, there's some film creators here in town, and they were hunters. And they took classes at RCTC to figure out how to edit films and things of that nature. And their first VHS they came up with was called Pure Adrenaline. And I probably watched that flipping thing 150 times. And it was them traveling around the country hunting deer. And I would watch that tonight.
That's great.
In a hurry. That would be so cool.
That's very local filmmaking. Look at that. He was ready to be part of a local film community already.
Yep.
That's great.
Yep. Andy, talk to us a little bit about what you're seeing as far as progress with the theater so far. How long have you been open and how are things going?
Yeah, so we opened, so we mentioned that first big event we had was May 3rd, but we actually opened for regular business May 7th. Couple things people might not know, because we were Great Elk Theater for so long, along the way we also made a partnership with Fiddlehead Coffee Company downtown, that we would be a vendor for them and as a full-time coffee house as well. There's a long story behind that, but the basic idea now is that we are a full-time coffee shop here. So you can come here, we open 7 a.m. every weekday, 9 a.m. on Saturdays, 1 o'clock on Sundays, come in, grab a cup of coffee, leave. We're not just movies. In the month and a half we've been open, it's been an interesting mix of sort of our people who come in for coffee, our coffee community, and then those who know us for our films. And then they're slowly sort of being brought together. So we're doing a lot of great stuff, showing a lot of great films. We had multiple sellouts this last weekend for a great documentary called The Biggest Little Farm that I'd highly recommend people watch if they're out there. We're showing it this weekend. We actually already have a sellout for tonight, Friday, you guys watch this, but we're showing it Saturday, Sunday, and then again next weekend. So that's a great film. And we're doing a lot of stuff to try to bring the community in. We know we're a new business. We want people to come see the space, and we think that our experience is such that people will really enjoy it. So, for example, today we're showing the Women's World Cup match. It's on at 2 o'clock today. We'll have it on the big screen here. I would guess that that's the biggest screen in town you can watch the movie on. I don't know where else would be competing with us. So I'll just say that confidently without any real data to back it up.
Sweet.
So if you want to see it on the biggest screen, that's here at Grey Duck. Tomorrow morning from 9 to noon, we're having Saturday morning cartoons and coffee, where we're just showing old school cartoons like Betty Boop and Looney Tunes here at the theater for free. That you don't need a ticket for that. Bring kids, you know, people can sit on the floor if they want. So that's another kind of fun thing we're having, as well as our regular show times on the weekends. So it's been really fun. The thing we've heard more than anything is that people are surprised that this is in Rochester. People have said, you know, I thought it was a cultural desert, and now this is here. And, you know, Rochesterites know that's not necessarily true. We have culture here, but it's cool that people are recognizing this is something new that's really important. And I would just plead to those people who said something like that before, oh, there's nothing to do in Rochester, come and support businesses like ours that are doing stuff. Because we want to do more. All of us in the art community want to do more, but we have to have the backing of the public to do that, because we can't finance this ourselves. So come to Grey Duck Theater and Coffee House, buy a coffee, see a movie, and support stuff like this coming to Rochester.
Hank, are you working on any fun projects right now, remodeling anything?
Yep, we're doing a couple flip houses, and then we're looking at doing the Apollo gas station across town.
Oh, okay. That's the one on 4th Street Southeast?
You got it.
Yep. Neat. Very cool. So small businesses are still moving and shaking in the community, aren't they?
There you go. They were actually looking at Grey Duck. They got kind of inspired by it.
Did they really?
Oh.
Good.
Ari Colas, so, yep.
That's awesome. One thing that stands out for me that's happening in the community, I just saw that Rochester Parks is doing an event down at Cook Park.
Yeah, July 3rd, they're doing a Riverside concert. I talked to one of the organizers, and they're trying to bring it, still doing the downtown concerts as well, but also bringing that out to different neighborhoods in the community. And so the first one they're doing is Cook Park this year, July 3rd. So definitely come out to that. We are literally a stone's throw away. I mean, from our parking lot, you can see Cook Park. So walk the 50 feet, come get a coffee before that, and then go to the concert. July 3rd, I think 7 p.m. I'm going to say it confidently. 7 p.m., July 3rd. Come to that concert, and then come over here to Grey Duck.
Awesome. People want to find out more about films. Where do they got to go?
GreyDuckTheater.com. We spell Grey with an A. So GRAYDUCKTHEATER. .com. You can also go to our Facebook. We have all of our films listed there. We also are just sold on Fandango, which is...
met a person that was like, what's this Grey Duck Theater? And they found it through Fandango.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you don't have to, you know, go to our special website. If you just use Fandango or you have used Fandango points, we're also there. And I guess I didn't mention, but so tickets are $8 for a single ticket. And then every night that we show films, Friday, Saturday, and Sundays, we have two different films playing, one early and then one 2 hours later, so you can get a double feature for $12. So again, single ticket $8, double feature for $12. In my hometown of Los Angeles, a single movie ticket is something like $13.95, so you're getting a great deal. Come down to Grey Duck Theater.
Hank, people want to find out more about your services?
Yep, you can find us on Facebook, hankspropertyservice.com, or you can give me a call at 507-993-7791.
There you go.
Give Hank a call. He's amazing. I can't say that enough. He really did and went above and beyond for us, and we are super grateful and would highly recommend to anyone.
And if, thank you, Andy and Grey Duck. We appreciate the business.
Yeah. And if you know any small businesses looking for space in the community, the Realty Growth team where I work would be happy to help. So RGI. Thanks, guys. That was awesome.
Yeah, super fun.
Done.
Woo!
Nice job.
We did it, team.